I'm calling
this meeting of the expanded budget committee to order. We all have a fairly decent idea of why we're here. After our first meeting on the 30th, we had to go back and do some thinking, and now we need to try to make some decisions. One of my colleagues asked me to kind of give an overview of the structure in which we have to make our choices. So I just want to review what the statute says about how we can use this money. There are four possible uses: to respond to the public health emergency or its negative economic impacts, to respond to workers performing essential work during the COVID-19 public health emergency, to make necessary investments in water, sewer, or broadband infrastructure. Those are the three uses that involve the county distributing or sharing these funds with community groups for uses outside of county operations. The fourth possibility is for the provision of government services to the extent of the reduction in revenue that the county experienced as a result of the COVID emergency. And in that bucket is included the notion of using cash for capital improvements and capital projects. So I hope that clarifies anybody's confusion about what we can use the money for. I know that another piece of this that we were having some difficulty with is understanding what the compliance requirements are depending on to what use we put the money. Included in your agenda packet was a document that outlines all of the reporting requirements and the programmatic data that we would be required to report on a quarterly basis depending on how we use the money. I know that there is some confusion about whether a lot of the programmatic data requirements would apply if we use the money for county operations under the revenue replacement category, and I'm fairly confident that the reporting requirements would be less stringent if we used it for county operations, but I have been trying to get an answer to that question from Ryan Gregoire and Dave Lucas at NYSAC. So I most recently got a reply from Ryan saying, this is a terrific question and one that we have asked Treasury and NACO. We have also included this exact question in our formal letter to Treasury. Like other matters, though, we are still awaiting further guidance, clarifications, answers from them. I wish I had the answer for you on this question, but we really would need Treasury to opine on this particular detail. So as with most other things that relate to the ARPA funds, Treasury is being sphinx-like and silent so far. Amy told me just now that they don't even have the portal up for us to file the initial interim report that's due when?
Next Saturday.
Yeah. So that's where we are. And I guess with that, I'd like to suggest a framework for how we should proceed with this meeting. Lisa has asked that we please provide her and Rick with some clarity, at the very least, on how much of this money we want to use for cash for capital, because otherwise they're going to be engaged in some unnecessary efforts to prepare for bonding things that we might later decide we wanted to pay cash for. I know we don't have to bond until next February, but the preparation for that process has to start now. So my ask of you all is that we start by determining how much of the ARPA funds we want to use for revenue replacement in county operations. Within that category, we need to determine how much we want to tell Lisa and Rick to use for cash for capital. And if we get further than that tonight, I'll tell you what the next steps are. I see questions from Henry and Mike Lane. Oh, you didn't have a question? I thought. Oh, you were just waving to me? Okay. Mike?
Are you ready for a motion?
If you have one, I thought people might want to...
Well, we can discuss the motion.
Well, the motion that's on here, that was in your agenda packet, as I understand it, isn't a motion that we pass in expanded budget committee. It's an outline of a motion that we would submit to tomorrow's legislature meeting based on the consensus that we reach, hopefully, at tonight's meeting. If I'm not understanding the procedure correctly, I am happy to stand corrected.
However you want to handle it, I'm glad to start off the discussion, if you want me to.
Yes, please. And then I have raised hands from Rich, John, and Martha.
Mike, just in terms of framing the discussion, if we use the resolution that Deborah is going to bring to the legislature tomorrow with a number in it, for purposes of the discussion, if you're willing to start there, that might be a good way to guide us around the room. But do as you see fit.
And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you all that on that resolution, on packet page 24, in line 6, it's a prescribed formula and not a proscribed formula. But I guess that this is the motion that Lisa and Rick need, and our job is to simply fill in the number. So that's the way our conversation should be framed. So, Rich, did you have anything else?
No, and I apologize to Mike for interrupting.
Okay. So I have Martha and then Dan.
Can I?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
As far as I'm concerned, I'd like to fill that blank in with 100%.
100% for county operations?
For revenue replacement. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, well, all right. Well, that's one vote for 100%, and I support that. But I'm sure there are other ideas, so let's hear what they are. That doesn't answer, by the way, the cash for capital question. That just answers how much we would use for county operations. So, Martha?
Well, actually, that resolve says that we would allocate X percent of ARP funds towards the county's capital program.
Yeah, I understand that, but there, you know, the resolution needs a little work.
Oh, okay. All right, well, if I can just, for a moment, this document you have on here that doesn't have a name on it, that's from me. That was supposed to be my submission, and there's a couple paragraphs on the second page. And then, briefly, this other list came from, which I emailed this morning, came from everybody's, the documents that are in the packet, and I explained in the email this morning, just kind of whoever mentioned something, that was how that item got a score. So I just wanted to explain what's on your desk. I see Drew and Rick are here. I wondered, is Leslie on Zoom too? Because she was at the earlier meeting. I just was one. Okay, I see she's there. Okay, hey Leslie. All right. In my thinking about this cash for capital, my thinking has evolved. So what I sent out 2 weeks ago is, I would rewrite it now, but has kind of everything to do with where our fund balance is right now. And I wonder, especially for the public, to know what our choices are. I wonder if Rick could go through what the audited fund balance came out to be at the end, for the end of 2020, and what that means. I would, because in my mind, and Jason actually put this in his retreat presentation, sort of trading off fund balance and ARPA funds sort of interchangeably before we knew what all the reporting requirements were, but he was using, in a couple of places, he was using them interchangeably. So that's really relevant when I think about what the percentage is here in this resolution. I wonder if Rick could go through that.
Sure, and for the benefit of the three people out there in the public that are watching, the significance of the distinction between fund balance and ARPA funds for use in larger community projects is that, at least for the moment, we are operating on the theory that the compliance and reporting obligations relating to the use of fund balance would be far less onerous than they would be if we were actually using the ARPA funds. So with that, take it away, Rick.
Okay, we're going to make it even more confusing than it was last week, but...
Oh, good.
I'm going to start with where we were last week to give you what our actual fund balance is as of the end of the year. And I'll share this first screen, which is just a copy of an email. You're kind of jumping the gun a little bit because tomorrow night is our presentation on financial statements, and I have like five slides and a big discussion on fund balance. So you're ahead of me by one day. And
Could we try to make this as simple as
possible? You made it very difficult because one of the things I'm going to bring to light is there's a difference in the calculation if you're looking at fund balance when it's divided by actual revenue. And so I'm going to share a screen here that shows what I shared with Martha and one of the committees last week. Here we go.
We're talking about unassigned fund balance. And we know there are a lot of
unassigned,
different fund
balances. Right.
Right. There are a lot of specialized that are restricted fund balances, but unassigned.
Now, you should be looking at the screen here. Can you see this?
I can.
Henry's good.
You need to zoom in quite a bit.
Yeah.
When we look at 2020, the actual revenue at the end of the year was $173.7 million. And our fund balance at the end of the year, the unassigned fund balance was about $48 million. And that's this figure here. And when you simply divide the actual revenue by the unassigned fund balance, you come up with the percentage. And that's a very high percentage compared to past years. That's 27.6%. And they asked me to compare this. Well, you know, how much money would we have in fund balance if we only had 10%? And the answer to that is, this $17,300,000. What would it be if it was 18%? It would be this figure here, $31,200,000. And so that's a big difference between 10% and 18%. Again, this is calculated using actual revenue, which is normally what we track throughout the years. And it's a very high percentage at 27.6%, mainly because our unassigned fund balance keeps going up. And this was a relatively low revenue number or denominator to divide it by. If you go back to 2019, which is more of a normal year, our revenues were much higher at 189,000. That's in the first column. I mean, 189,700,000. And our actual unassigned fund balance in the general fund was just a little bit less than it is now at 46,200,000. So because the denominator was so much higher, that is the actual revenue, our percentage of fund balance was 24.4%. So it looks like we increased from 24.4 to 27.6. That's a pretty hefty increase. And you can also see how much more we have in fund balance than the 10% amount would only be about $19 million, and at 18% would be $34 million. And again,
And Ray, maybe you could just for the benefit of anyone who's watching, explain why that percentage number is important.
The percentage number is important because, first of all, we have a minimum fund balance. Policy that means we have to keep at least 10%, which we are way over. I'm going to show you now one slide from tomorrow night's presentation to give you when I say the numbers keep changing, our policy right now is based on budgeted revenues. Everything we've talked about now during the last few committee meetings over the months has been based on actual revenues, actual unassigned fund balance. Our actual policy, until we change it, is actually worded that you're supposed to take the fund balance and divide it by budgeted revenues. So I have to do that in our financial statements, and that is our official policy until we change it. One of the words Jason and I have changed in the new policy, once we get it passed, is to change the word from budgeted revenues to actual revenues. So I'm going to show you a slide here that shows, can you see that yellow bars?
Yes.
Yes.
It's quite a bit bigger than the last slide. I apologize for that last one. This slide is unassigned fund balance as a percentage of general fund budgeted revenues. Because our budgeted revenues for the year ending December 31st, 2020 was much higher than our actual revenues, you'll see this last column here does not say 27.6%. It says 24.7, which is very close to the year before, 23.8, and the year before, that was 24. In fact, the last 4 years, it's hovered between 24 and 25% without change. This is the official number per policy as we now have in effect, is to divide the unassigned fund balance in the general fund by the budgeted revenues, which in this case is like 191 million something. So that's why it shows
Madam Chair,
lower numbers here
information.
Yes.
For 2020.
I'm totally lost. I don't understand why we're having this discussion purposes of what we're trying to decide today. I understand this is important, and we're going to get a report on it tomorrow, but it seems like we're so far away from the 10% limit that whatever policy we have on fund balance, if Rick could explain why this is impacting the decision we have before us right now.
Okay, if I can explain step by step, I think there are certain members of the legislature who would be far more willing to allocate a larger percentage,
not all of it, to county operations if we could make available for future community programs some money from fund balance. Our fund balance looks pretty hefty. the issue becomes what happens if and when we adjust our fund balance policy to comply with the recommendations that have come from GFOA, which suggests that we ought to have at least 2 months' worth of budgeted revenues, or somewhere around 16% to 18% in reserve. So that's why Rick can't answer this question without diving into the weeds of what the percentage of fund balance actually is.
But it does seem like we have plenty of fund balance, and if we knew what that GFO number was,
yeah,
then we could say what the number is we'd have as available fund balance to spend.
And maybe Rick can get to that.
Okay.
And I see you, Martha. I see you, Annie. But let's see if we can get an answer on this from Rick.
If I can point out that the dollars rather than percentages is kind of, I'm looking for dollars above what the policy would be. See, or is right now.
If we go back to the original dollars, our fund balance at 10% should be around $17.4 million. So when we're looking at the revenues, if we gross that up to the budget revenues instead of actual revenues, instead of 17.3, let's say $19 million is what our fund balance at 10% of budget revenues would be.
So, and what would it be at 18?
And at 18, it would be this next number here, this 31 or maybe 32 million. So the range between 10 and 18% is roughly 17 million to 32 million. That's the range of where you should be comfortable in keeping your fund balance. We have $48 million in unassigned general fund balance. So anything above 32 million up to 48, that's that area that is not covered by the policy. It's over the policy limits.
Okay, and I think Rick, with all due respect, that's the answer that Martha was looking for. And that's enough information for us tonight. Tomorrow night will be a different story.
Yeah. So you're looking at $15 million in excess fund balance over and above our 18%, even at 18%. That's what a lot of the conversations have been boiling down to over the last couple of weeks.
That's if we wanted to spend ourselves down to the absolute minimum of fund
balance.
That's
right. I don't suggest that, because you have other uses of fund balances that plan for the future, you know, and not just this one thing we're talking about tonight. That's pretty obvious, but I'll stop sharing the screen if there's other questions I can answer.
Okay, Martha?
Yeah, I would say, you know, 18% of the budgeted revenues is not the minimum. That's like, that would be the goal of the policy that we haven't even approved yet. So I would posit that 16 million is even less than we might, reasonably be safe in spending. Let me just say, school districts, by law, when their reserves, which is the same as our fund balance, when their reserves get above a certain amount, the state comes around and says, you have to return this to the taxpayer. You have to spend this or return this to the taxpayer. We don't have that kind of, as far as I know, that kind of stipulation, that kind of law, but it's the same idea. We have been, you know, fortunate, lucky, whatever, smart enough to develop this kind of profile. I think this is the time when we have such severe community needs that I think I could support 100% of ARPA money going to county operations if we made a commitment of 20 million
into community projects. Again, over the similar time period that we're talking about for ARPA, but the idea being that we certainly have that kind of room to spare in our unassigned fund balance.
Well, that's one approach. I think it just depends on what your idea is. Well, go ahead, Rick.
Deborah, here's another screen from tomorrow night. I stole this from last year. Jason and I prepared this last year, and we hadn't changed it. This is the same recommendation going forward that we would be making, currently at 10%. Appropriate level set by our is supposed to be set by our policy. It's much too low at 10% currently. We recommended last year, and we're recommending this year that our policy would be reworded to be to go from budgeted revenues to actual revenues, and that the rate be changed from 18 to a from 10 to a range of 18 to 23. So this was the range that we recommended last year. This is also the range that we were talking about in changing our fund balance policy over the last 6 months. And this is probably still where we ought to aim to be going, this range of 18 to 23. So again, I stole a slide from tomorrow night's show, but I thought you should get it now since.
Where we could aim over a period of years. Don't have to do that in 1 year.
Okay. All right. I've got Annie and Shauna and Rich.
Thank you. I would feel comfortable with reserving 25% for programs with the 75% going back, whether you're saying it's in capital. I'm not sure now what the, because we're not using this resolution, which said for capital plans, right?
The idea is figuring out how much we want to use for county operations and then how much we want to use for cash for capital, which is part of county operations.
Okay. Well, overall, I just want to say, too, when we're looking at the revenue from last year, it was down to 170-something. The year before, it was 189. And we're looking at, as far as I'm hearing, to replace quite a few of the positions from last year that that we lost. So I could foresee in the next couple of years that our budget going or our that needing 200 million. If we're needing 200 million, 18% of that is 36 million. So.
Yeah.
If we're just looking at last year, to me that's artificially low when we're looking at what the future could be. So we're not far off from 36 million if we're looking at 18 to 23% to have in reserves, then that's at the lower limit of that 18 to 23%. So I would like to us to figure out, you know, how much of the 20 million from the ARPA funds that we'd be using for programs and to not count on that we would have anything else extra. So I would be kind of the opposite of where Martha's going, that to not count on that. The pandemic might not be over. It doesn't look like it's over in the rest of the country at all. And therefore the economic and needs, the social needs, I don't think are over. The economic recovery, we don't know how long that's going to take. So I would be much more conservative with that. But to allocate at least maybe or around 25% for programs for the community, because there's a lot of things, too, that we can't spend county money on, or there's at least several categories of things we can't just say, hey, let's put 100% there, because we can't use county money for certain things. So that's my opinion right now.
Okay. Shauna?
Dan actually had his hand up. So Dan,
yeah, I've got him on the list, but...
Okay. So I, with this in mind, I would actually be comfortable using 100% for the cash for capital. and I know Martha presented the 20 million, I would probably be comfortable with anywhere from 5 to 7. And I would want to use that funding. One of the most important things to me right now is paying our staff for the work that they're doing. And I think the most important part of that is doing a compensation study and then us actually paying that amount in the following year. Whenever I've asked, administration believes that number is going to be anywhere from 2 to 3 million per year to compensate our staff at what they're worth. So I would want to use some of our fund balance for at least the first 2 years to allocate that funding and stepping it down each year. So start with a 50% and then reducing that to 25% in hopes that our tax revenue picks up the 75% after the second year. Those are really my priorities. As far as nonprofits, Human Services Coalition, there are some nonprofits that report to that committee or to that organization, and I would like to see approximately $1 million go to them. So again, I would probably be anywhere from 5 to 7 million out of the fund balance. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Shana. Dan.
Thanks. What I want to say is more about process and making sure we're on the same page. And it just has to do with some of us are talking about 2022 and some of us are talking about 2022 and 2023 because our money has come in two tranches, I think is the word. So I just want to make sure tonight as we talk about this that we're all saying the same thing. I don't care which one we do necessarily, but I just know that as I've been reading through these, different people are using different, you know, 1 year or 2 years, and it makes a big difference. So that's all. That's my only request tonight, is that we be very clear about what we're talking about, 1 year or 2 years. Thank you.
I kind of got the impression that it would be most helpful to Lisa and Rick if they knew how much of the total 19.9 would be going into capital.
Well, I mean, a couple of things about that. We don't have 19.9 yet. We have 10.
Well, yeah, but
we think we're getting that. Yep.
Well, if it's not like, you know, it's not like sales tax. If the federal government reneges on this, we've got bigger problems.
I mean, I agree. It's probably going to happen. There's another legislature next year. Different group of people that can make a different decision, and. It could go either way, but again, I just want to be clear because I don't think everyone, I know everyone's not saying the same thing, so it's going to be important to make sure we all are on the same page. Thanks.
Okay. Rich, Amanda, Mike Lane.
Thank you, Deborah. I agree with Mike and the others who said 100% to capital, but I'd like to do it with a handshake that at the same time, we would not try to make a decision tonight about other spending, because I think we've got 14 minds that are going in different directions. Frankly, I think Mike Sigler's idea about planting trees was my favorite. Seriously, I think we should be doing something to plant trees in the county, but all of the different ideas are generally worthy. They're good ideas, but they're competing, and we can easily spend way more than $19 million trying to execute all of the different visions. What we can do, though, I believe, is say, yes, we will commit to the capital projects to get through the reporting issues, to basically cleanse this money of all the reporting requirements, reimburse ourselves, and at the same time, we have a handshake that we will commit extra funding out of our fund balance to specific projects to address lessons learned from the pandemic. And I would call it the resiliency fund or something similar, but that we segregate that money and that we then try to develop a process for us as a group to analyze all the different worthy ideas and allocate where we know we can make significant impact on the community in a positive way through application of fund balance money, and we try to commit a definite amount, say perhaps $2.5 million a year over the next 5 years, so that it would have significant impact over a longer term, and we wouldn't be trying to make spending decisions as a bump right now in all sorts of different directions, that we could be far more thoughtful about it. And I do understand this would cross over to a new legislature, but if we craft the process properly, I believe we could convince new legislators that this makes sense. And I'm thinking the types of projects we would want to try to address would be, say, if there was a proposal that could improve the daycare operations overall within the county, because that clearly was a lesson learned, that our daycare was not able to cope with the demands put on it. Our food pantries, we responded very generously and really did a great job, but the stresses and strains and the fragmentation, the coordination issues, the facilities issues of maintaining a large emergency food supply were really great, and we could do something to address that. Say we did not have a stockpile of PPE. We could maintain a stockpile and cycle through PPE for all the users in the community so that we knew that stockpile was ready at all times in case we have a future need for it. You can start thinking of other projects. I wasn't saying those are the ones to execute, but that would be the type of thinking we would want to try to do for this resiliency fund. Doing that, I think, accomplishes a couple things. One, it answers the capital question. It makes the county stronger. It deals with all of those issues of increasing our ability to respond and to maneuver when we need to. And then it would give us a communication to our community that we are going to spend. We are going to try to address the issues that we've identified through the pandemic to make our community stronger and better. So with that said, I would put 100% to capital. Thank you.
Okay, I have Amanda, Mike Lane, and then Martha again.
Hey, thank you. I also like the tree idea. I think that's the best idea yet, Mike Sigler. Thank you. But I also want to clarify that this resolution, what our administration needs is how much of this do we want to put to capital? That's different than county operations. So you could say we're going to put 100% into capital program, but then I do like Rich's idea of setting aside, you know, a certain amount for future years, but some of that, like, county operations is different than just the capital program.
Yes, I thought
so,
it made that.
So there has to be, we're not just talking about nonprofits or community organizations, we're talking about what within our own operations do we want to put some of this money towards. So that's included in, okay. So with that in mind, I also would put 100% towards capital program if we're setting aside a certain amount in the coming years, which I guess we'd have to talk about that. And I also think we have to talk about which capital projects. I mean, I feel like there's so many different things. I would put most of that into green operations, personally, or as much as we need to get us on a 2030 or sooner net zero timeline. To answer Dan's question, I'm thinking about it as one whole, like not just 9 million right now and 10 or whatever next year. It's like a whole package, and I'm assuming that we'll get it. So that's what I'm thinking about. And then I think we're going to need some process to determine how much of that extra fund balance or you know, how much of county money we're going to set aside, as Rich is saying, over the next couple of years, and then how are we going to decide how to use that? That's going to be a whole nother conversation. So I think I'm sort of repeating what people are saying, but I'm also trying to clarify it for myself. And, thank you for all you people who are working on this.
Yeah, if I can interject, I sent an email out quite a while ago outlining
the process, and we've continued to discuss the process. The first task is you know, the 30,000-foot level of how much money we're going to put in these various pots. And after that, after, for example, we decide how much we're putting in cash for capital, the capital plan still comes before the legislature as part of our budget process, and it will probably still come through BCP. So BCP will be taking a look at what projects we're going to pay for with cash, and the legislature will have an opportunity to weigh in on that. And then when we look at the larger question of, okay, say we take $10 million of fund balance, which I think would be a responsible number. I don't want to get us down to close to or just over what we'd have if we changed the fund balance policy. I don't want to set us up to fail. But once we decide how much money we want to use for resiliency programs or whatever we choose to call it, then we can allocate whether we want it to go to human services agencies or businesses or, you know, the library, whatever. But the point is that whatever process we come up with to actually allocate those funds that we've earmarked for those uses is going to have to work through the program committees, because they have the relationships with the outside groups and the expertise to evaluate what are the most worthy projects. And then they would have to make their recommendations via a resolution to the entire legislature. So this is a process that's going to have steps. Whatever decision we make tonight, for example, is nowhere near the end of the process. I just want to remind everybody that that's how it's going to proceed. Now I've got Mike Lane, and I'm going to take Henry and then Martha and then Annie again.
Thank you. Maybe I'm confused here. I thought you told us our first decision we have to make is how much of the ARP money we're going to use to replace revenues.
Yeah.
And we haven't been talking about that. I mean, maybe everyone agrees that we need to use 100, and that's what I'm saying, 100% of that money should be used to replace revenues.
Then, I agree, but that doesn't mean we're going to use all of that for cash for capital, right?
No, but what it does is, I'm understanding, is that changes the status of that money to become basically, now we've got that much money available in the county operations, for capital, for
right.
Other programs that we have. But don't we have to make that decision first so that
yes.
We could do that? So don't, I mean, that's where I was heading with my motion to begin with. Now, as far as once we get beyond that, if that should pass, or that should be the consensus, however you want to handle it, then we have to decide what percentage of the replaced money we're going to use for capital.
Right.
And that's where I said in facilities the other day, I would support 75% of that going toward capital. And I would support the rest of that going toward the other programs we have. I'm not on board to spend $15 million out of our fund reserve for anything. We had a discussion about that during budget last year. I don't think it was that many. I think it was more like $6 million we were talking about. But I don't think any of us was ready to pull that kind of money out of and use it toward whatever programs that whatever we each have, whether it's planting trees, whether it's building houses, whether it's putting sewer lines in the ground somewhere. We all have things that we would like to do. That's why I've always had trouble with this process we were starting out with here, but because we all have different ideas. But I'm all for trying to come up with some method. I think Rich is going down the right path here to say, let's think about some allocation. Let's think about giving people a chance to come forward with programs that they would recommend, and then figure out how we can evaluate them and how we can go ahead and fund some of them. That's how I would like to proceed.
I don't think you're in basic disagreement with quite a few of us, Mike, but thank you. So, Henry?
Yes. Yes, I am not for the 100% to lost revenue. Again, there were four categories that for authorized uses: respond to public health needs and economic damage from the pandemic, provide premium pay to essential workers, facing lost revenue, and investing in necessary water and broadband infrastructure. I just don't see why we would put everything in lost revenue. I mean, there's clearly four ideas that Congress sort of had. Also, I mean, I would be willing to put some money towards lost revenue, but I think that instead of a handshake deal, we make it specific that we will spend fund balance in the future. So no just handshake agreement. We commit to how much we're going to spend in fund balance. So whether it's, you know, 6 or 7 million or 15 million, we commit to that number. Because again, why should that side get only a handshake deal? And also, I mean, I think that there's also the idea that, you know, we had the census tracts, and that money being, that again, that this money was supposed to be used for lower income census tracts, so they specially used for that. And I don't see that, you know, money lost, all lost revenue is going to satisfy that, that desire or that intention of the act. So I put out that maybe, you know, $5 million, which is what I stated I had cash for capital and $5 million for loss of revenue, but now I'm just saying $5 million for lost revenue total.
Thank you. Martha?
I think there's a confusion about lost revenue. Amy went through a really fun calculation of what our lost revenue is according to the federal government, according to this whole deal. And our lost revenue is $27 million, which is just a threshold. It's a definitional point that says that if we want, therefore, we could spend the whole 20 in that third category. So lost revenue just means is a definition that, okay, we got that, check that box. That's done. That gives us, allows us the most flexibility. So, friend Henry, what you're talking about is the four categories. So we still have that option to spend the money on any of those four categories. So,
but if 100% goes to lost revenue,
if 100% goes to county operation, we should probably not.
Right.
I think not think about lost revenue. That's a confusing phrase.
That's the phrase that's in the statute, the guidance, and the regulation.
Right, but that's on the definition of our funds side. I think we can set that aside. But
right,
the point is,
100% of lost revenue does not mean 100% to capital.
Okay, so 100% to county operations, whether it's capital or ongoing other operations. So let me just first say, I threw out $20 million for fund balance for a negotiating position. You know, it's like, that would be
irresponsible.
I know. That would be a lot. Let's just say that would be a lot. I'm totally with Henry about let's get a real number and make a commitment, because I think our community would like to know. And in fact, because, like, lowering future tax levies by spending cash for capital is a smart idea,
but it only helps the community, like in the way that we right now help the community. It doesn't address equity. It doesn't address the real gaps that we've seen and the needs that have been exacerbated by the pandemic, the needs that exist, the gaps between people who can easily get a job and easily afford to live here and the people who can't, the people who struggle to find a place for their kids to be, et cetera. So I would like not to just kind of level the plan, you know, lower everybody's taxes. I would like this to make a difference in terms of equity. I'm looking at the resolution. What I understand, Lisa, that you're looking for by this is you literally are looking to know, have to get direction about bonding. So if we decide to spend some percentage on other county operations, let's say reimagining public safety, those are one-time expenses, other things that are one-time but not capital, you don't need to know that now, right? You're just, for the sake of bonding, and that's why it's a two-year window, because you guys look 2 years out when you do those bonding, make those bonding decisions. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm simply looking for numbers to plug into the capital plan, because to solidify that somewhat, so that as we move on to the operational budget, I just know that that figure is solidified, because it does affect the operational budget. And at the same time, some of these capital projects, we're determining whether or not to begin the process of going out to bond, and we may not, depending upon the decisions that are made.
And so the conversation at F&I last week was very helpful, and, you know, the list that you sent. So saying we want to spend a certain percentage on capital projects doesn't mean we're going to spend the balance on the community. It can still be on county internal uses. But you're just looking for the capital dollar.
Okay. Yes. I envision, you know, there are other potential uses for other revenue, be it ARP or fund balance, to assist further along in the budget process, either for either our own operations or for agencies, et cetera. And I would be looking for those decisions as well, but that's a little further down the road.
Okay, so to answer that question, I would go back to the public, to the F&I meeting, and I would support, where was I? The green facilities and the green fleet. And, you know, I don't think highway makes sense, because there's going to be a federal infrastructure bill that'll help us with highway. So I could certainly see, you know, some, I think it was somewhere around $8 million for green stuff. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to call on Leslie and Mike Sigler. Leslie, go ahead.
Thank you. I would like to recommend that we put forward 25% more county uses, whether they be for operations or cash for capital,
and address some of the issues that were imagined in this fund that are not county specific, that are not government specific, as Henry brought up. I think it's critical that we do remember what the rescue fund was for, and it was to provide immediate relief. And a concern I have is that we are not getting to the pain places. We're thinking about the future. I think that's great. That's a requirement. That's what government should be doing. But there is an immediate and acute need, which is the reason the funding is coming our way, because of this pandemic. And I think that we have an obligation to respond to that at the human level, and not thinking necessarily only about the long term, only about the long term fiscal health of the county. We have to balance that, in my opinion. I would say $5 million for the county, to be determined how it is divided among operations or cash for capital, is appropriate. And then we have households, individuals, businesses, nonprofits, and potentially transformational projects that could be allocated for the other funds. All of that said, if we are willing to say that because of the administrative cost that's going to be part of implementing the allocation broadly of these funds, it makes more sense to bring it into the county's coffers, then I would advocate for a commitment of the fund balance of $15 million, and the commitment should live within the same years as the ARPA funds, so that we are actually responding in real time and not just saying out years, sometime, somewhere, we'll do something for people. I would say we'd have to have a commitment with known projects, plans, initiatives by 2024 with spending by 26. If we think that it is more fiscally prudent and is actually more efficient and saves money to bring the entire fund, the entire ARPA funds into the county budget. But otherwise, I am concerned that we will not be helping some folks that are in real need. We will not be supporting economic revitalization of the county. And that would be a big loss. And I think that we're going to see that, and that'll come back to roost for needs in county services and for the health and the economic vitality of our county.
So if you'll indulge me, I have three questions, actually.
Okay.
The first question is, I'm just going back to when Jason laid this whole thing out for us, you know, right when COVID was kind of hitting. So, you know, obviously like 18 months ago or that. He had, if I remember correctly, he was projecting we were going to lose like $12 million. We were going to have a $12 million hole. And this may have been answered, but it kind of goes to what Martha was saying before. How much was that final number? Like, I know what the federal government's saying, $27 million. I don't know where they got that number, to be honest with you. But what I'm looking at our fund balance going, we're up $1.5 million. Like, were we ever really in the hole? Like, I know we cut 50 people. I get we did some things that saved us some money. And I'm not saying, you know, obviously we're taking the money. But I'm just wondering, is there a number? Does Rick have a number like on that? Like, were we ever $12 million in the hole? Were we able to mitigate that to the point where we were ahead in the budget as opposed to down? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if anybody does, and I don't know if that's already been answered. And if it has, I apologize. But
well, if our actual revenue fell from 2019 at $189.7 million.
Right.
To $173 million in 2020, that should tell you something.
It does. So, I mean, then we're looking at like $16 million. And we cut some things and we made up a lot of the difference. Martha's going to talk now. And
no, she's not.
That's not right. So we got. So we did get some reports. Okay. So
and I'm also, 16... Mike, remember, too, that the fund balance increase can be accounted for to some extent by the fact that we had almost $1 million in a premium holiday from the health consortium. We got a $300,000 rebate from TCAT, and we got additional EFMAP monies for Medicaid that we weren't anticipating.
Just something to keep in mind. This all is good, but I think that's something we actually need to push out better to the public, because listen, my wife was reading that going, you guys, you have a lot of money. I mean, you're $1 million better than you were. People in the county aren't. So I
think Amy has some information she'd like to share with you, Mike.
Please, that would be great.
So looking at just as part of the calculation for the counterfactual revenue and all of that, we did look at year-to-year growth, and we were down $17.5 million from 2019 to 2020. 2019 to 2020. So that shows some real loss. What it also, I think, you're marking on is as we started to look at this, we also received some CARES Act funding in different revenue streams. We did cut costs by reducing workforce and other things. So there's a lot of information that goes into that number, but overall, year to year, it was down 17.5.
That's great. Sean has a question, I think. I'm sorry, Deborah.
Well, you had three questions.
I do.
Mike, so ask your question.
Okay. I guess my other question is, it's kind of like we're nibbling at the edges here. If our whole goal is to launder this money, and I'm sorry, we called it washing, we can call it whatever we want, so that we can escape the federal reporting,
I mean, if we're in for a penny, we're in for a pound. I mean, then just do that. Do it with the whole 100%. Then we take this discussion and we start the actual discussion of where we spend it.
Yep.
I mean, that, I don't know why we're, you know, and that's going to look bad, I think, to the general public. I do. I think it's actually better to go and hire somebody to kind of document how we spend it and stuff. But I understand the other. I mean, I get it. It just seems like an odd way to approach things. And the last thing is not a question. It's something I want to say. I think we can have both as what Leslie was having. I think you can have economic growth, but also have looking towards the future. And I don't know, if I were to coin a phrase for this, I would call it legacy projects. You know what I mean? I know the dam project may sound funny, although Auburn has done that with 2 dams, by the way. And Waterloo did it, and that's where we buy our electric power from. So, but that's a legacy project. That's something that will pay the county for the rest of our lives. For 100 years, that will pay. And it will add something to the city, maybe even a swimming place for people in the city, in the impound. There's a lot you can do there. But, you know, it doesn't have to. The trees, that's something I'm not going to enjoy, but my kids will. That's a legacy project. The people, when I was talking about TC3 and trade schools and how this money could go to pay for that, those people are legacy. That's a legacy we would leave. So I think you can do both, and I just think it's kind of a framing of how you look at it. So I don't know. That's my 2 cents on that. But thank you for the answer to that question, Amy. I appreciate that. That was very specific, so I like it.
Okay, I have Annie, Rich, and Shauna.
So something that it seems to me this keeps getting dropped, or people aren't hearing this, what Henry's saying, what Leslie said. Leslie said, I think maybe she said it more indirectly, but what Henry said directly was, if we put 100% of this money towards, see if I have the right term now, county operations for lost revenue, is that pretty close? Then there are certain things that Henry outlined that we cannot use this money for. The county cannot spend its money to help businesses with economic damage, with premium pay, I believe, the lost pay, the lower, you know, other aid, probably the lower aid to lower income census tracts. There might have been one more. We can't use county money for that. So if we don't carve out some of that to begin with, we can always use it for something else later. I'd like us to commit to do that. But not only that, that we're setting ourselves up that we can't go back. And so if we don't set aside a certain percentage for that, also these, I don't have it in front of me, but these items also, I believe, correlate pretty highly with the survey that was sent out to the community that the community wants us to spend money on. So I urge my fellow legislators to please consider those two things. And with all of that, I would consider, you know, this conversation and discussion is really helping me, you know, as all the other discussions, so I appreciate everybody's patience here. But right now, I would lean towards maybe saving $5 million for that, and then committing another $5 million out of fund balance, so committing $10 million for community projects. But I know we're kind of all over the place on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. I will say that, you know, we tried to get some clarity from the county attorney about how we might use fund balance for community projects. And he indicated that there were ways, there were mechanisms, there are contracting relationships we could use. We could work through the Human Services Coalition. So it's not all that clear that we can't accomplish many of the same things by using fund balance, just so that you know.
I just want to say some of them, but not all of them.
Well, and then it becomes the question. I mean, I've called on everybody at least twice, I think. And I'd like to say my piece. You know, last year on Tiger,
I don't think a day went by that I didn't get, you know, emails from NYSAC or, you know, emails from Martha, or it wasn't brought up at a meeting, or we didn't discuss it in a ledge meeting, that what we needed was unrestricted direct aid to counties to use for county purposes. So we get $19.9 million finally, and some of y'all just cannot wait to give it all away, and I do not understand that. We are so far from being out of the woods economically, socially, public health-wise. We don't know what we're going to be facing going forward. I'm trying to arrange a vacation to see my grandchildren, who I haven't seen now in close on to 2 years. There's no place safe that we can go and no place that we can get to. This Delta variant bids fair to launch another round of the pandemic. And to me, throwing money at an economy with the idea that we're going to resuscitate it just so that we can shut everything down again for another round of the pandemic makes no sense whatsoever. I honestly, what I want is to situate Tompkins County to continue to be fiscally healthy and sustainable well into the future, so that whatever needs arise, we're able to respond to what our community needs. Now, I realize that the ARPA Act gave us four options for how to use this money. I don't think that the law weights any one of them more heavily than any other. If there are ways that we can meet community needs and still protect county operations and give ourselves money going well into the future so that we don't necessarily have to raise taxes every time some unexpected problem arises or we need to put on two more FTEs, then I just don't see that there's any reason not to do that, especially if we can still respond to community needs in other ways. So that said, I've got Rich and Shauna. Did you have something else? And Dan and Dave and Martha.
Thanks, Deborah. I look at those categories and I say, well, they're interesting. They wouldn't be the categories I would have created. And I'm very nervous with the idea of trying to allocate money to for-profit businesses. I don't think that's something we could do well or fairly, equitably in the community. If we take this money as replacement for lost revenue and use it within the county, we are constrained, and you're correct. We can't use it as broadly or in the specific ways that the ARPA categories might allow us to do, but I'm not that interested in doing that, and I'm not sure there'd be 8 votes for some of the more extreme category choices that are possible. So I'm pretty confident that if we take this money into the county and at the same time we do the commitment, Henry, that you're talking about, and I use the term handshake because we can't bind for future legislators, you know, that come in after us, but we certainly can set a policy, set a framework, and explain the commitment. And I think that there would be future commitment to that from future legislators, because if we do it right, it'll make sense and we'll see the impacts of it. But that is a way that we can make a difference in the community. We may not be able to do the specific things that ARPA would allow us to do, but we can still do some real good in the community and do it with far more efficiency because we're not tied to some incredibly rigorous reporting requirements that's going to drain a lot of the money out. So I think this is a prudent way to proceed. And I think I hear everybody talking, and I feel like we're kind of saying the same thing. Like when I heard Leslie say, we need a commitment that, yeah, this would be used in the future. So I say, let's give Lisa and Amy their answer tonight, but at the same time explain to the public that we will be developing a framework for using fund balance on a continuing basis over a period of years. Starting in 2021, I would advocate that this year we pull money out of fund balance for project, and each year we move forward. But obviously, you know, we're going to argue over every one of those dollars, as we should. You know, it sounds like Amanda, myself, and Mike are all for trees, but we need 8 votes. So
I don't think trees.
I think Dan's in, but
I don't think trees are in the statute. Quite
they're not a category, but but that, I mean, I use that as an example because we're not going to get to that agreement anytime soon. We're going to have a lot of discussion and priority setting. If we have an appropriate framework to help us get there, that's a responsible way to proceed, and it does address the community needs and the county needs to be strong. I think we should vote. I don't know. Let's make our decision.
Well, I've got some hands up. Yeah. Sorry. All right, Shauna.
First off, I didn't think legislators were allowed to use bad words like this dam project, that dam project. So Sigler, we'll be investigating that later. So I think this is absolutely a shell game. And, you know, whenever we talk about using 100% for capital, I feel like that really allows us the most flexibility to do with the money what we want to do with the money. And, you know, in my mind, it allows us to backfill some of the things that we have typically paid for with tax revenue or out of fund balance and keep our tax rates the same, at least for the next 2 years. There's absolutely no reason why we should be increasing our tax rate at least for the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, because we are going to be relying on this funding to help our county and to help the operations. So that would certainly be a very important thing that I think we can stress to our constituents and our county, is that we are committed to using this funding so that they don't feel more money coming out of their pockets.
Okay. Dan?
Thank you. So this is a question for Lisa and or Rick. So can you walk us through what it would mean? Let's say we took $10 million this year's allocation and applied it to capital. Does that mean that instead of bonding for $30 million, we're bonding for $20 million?
Mm-hmm.
Or does it mean, okay, I could stop right there. Is that...
It could mean that, yes. It could be as simple as that. It could also mean, or it could instead mean that some projects are moved further up in the timeline than others. Or it could mean that we fund additional projects.
Okay, thank you. Could it also mean that we allocate a certain amount of money every year to make, let's see if I can say this right, to make our interest payments.
And interest in principal, yeah.
Right, thank you. So does it mean, so if we theoretically commit $20 million, the whole thing, Are we saying that we're taking care of the payments next year for what we're already doing, or we're adding more? Because that's my other question. That's the other reason for this question is I'm still stuck on the two-year thing. Is are we, let's say we say, yeah, we're doing the whole thing cash for capital, but the next year, for whatever reasons, something different gets decided. Did we commit to something that we all of a sudden don't have money for?
So I would look at it this way. We would be the capital plan that we would be putting before you in the budget process would commit would commit those funds according to the project timeline in the capital plan, and when they would fall appropriately in terms of when construction would need to be completed to conform with ARPA, et cetera. So, even though we would not be committing all $20 million in the first year because we don't have the $20 million, we would be plugging it in to the capital plan to commit ourselves in that, you know, going in that direction. I mean, if something catastrophic happened, could we pull it out and make another determination and go out to bond in the future? Probably, but it would not be, you know, we wouldn't want to do that unless we absolutely had to.
Thank you. So, Lisa, in your mind, you want, or I guess I'll ask a question, are you asking for the, like a two-year commitment, like all the money? Would it be not be helpful to you if we said, yes, we'll do $10 million this year and we'll make a decision next year? Would that be unhelpful?
It would be ideal to understand the bulk of it, the $20 million essentially now, because it could help us better plan, because these are, you know, it's a lot of money, a lot of projects, and we could plug it in and then kind of have a plan for what we need to bond. The more information that we know up front, the better decisions we can make.
Thank you. That was really helpful.
Thanks, Dan, for those questions. Dave?
Yeah, I guess I've said it before, but I'd like to put 100% of it towards the capital for both years, if you will. Okay. But I would like a commitment that it, whichever way it has to work, I'd like to see about $3 million over the 2 years go towards broadband. Whatever that infrastructure is, and I know Anna's working on some stuff, and I think there's some federal money possibly coming down the road for it. So, you know, to kind of leverage all that together and see if we can get that up, because if the pandemic comes back, broadband is really going to be a big thing again, even though it is still pretty busy. And I wouldn't have any problem paying down the fund balance over $10 million over the next couple of years. I think, you know, that would be an appropriate amount. It's about two-thirds of what we have in there. And should put us in the 22-23% range. And I'd like to see us stay on the high end of that, just because it's a safe place to be in case of a catastrophe.
Okay, thanks. I think at this point everyone's had an opportunity to speak at least once. Mike has to leave at 7 p.m. Mike Lane. And so I guess Mike has a motion on the floor to use 100% of our ARPA funds for county operations. If I could get a second on that, we could at least take a vote on that. Rich seconds it. Thank you. Amanda? No, this is Mike's motion, and then we'll get to the resolution. So I guess I'd like us to vote on using 100% for county operations. So all in favor, please raise your hand. All right, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Martha?
Well, I didn't see the other half of a commitment. That's why I didn't raise my hand.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm getting there step by step. Okay. You know, I'd like to suggest a percentage or an amount that could be used out of that, out of the total for cash for capital. And I guess I would like to ask Lisa, do you want a percentage or do you want the 16.8 that you initially asked for? How do you want this to be structured?
Opposed.
Oh, okay. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4. She can't vote.
She can't vote.
Okay. So 3. Now that we're finished, my question to Lisa stands.
Either way, the monetary amount, and I could do the math on the percentage. Either way.
Well, I'm going to suggest that since you had a plan, that we go with your plan. Unless a lot of that was dependent on using ARPA funds for road work, because as Martha pointed out, that seems like it will imperil our ability to use anything from the infrastructure. So what's your pleasure, group, a percentage or an amount for cash for capital? Sure.
I understand what she's saying about road work, but wouldn't that be true for any green stuff too? Because, I mean, all that's in the infrastructure.
No, it isn't. I don't think.
No, there's
no. It got taken out by your guys.
I think it's more.
We have any power to take anything out, but
I think it's more certain that roads and bridges are going to get covered one way or another. Maybe likely that broadband or green stuff will be, but not nearly as certain. I would like to somehow to add in here or make time for a motion that says we want to commit X amount for administrative support for this whole endeavor. So when
I'm trying to get through things so that Mike can vote. So 75%, is that?
Why don't we do an amount?
Okay. What amount would you like us to do? 16.8?
Sure.
That's the number you had in your
yes.
Proposals or yep. One of your suggestions.
And we'll get that translated into a percentage. Okay. Time's a wasting, people. Henry?
Well, that if we do 16.8, that amount does not still cover the amount of lost revenue that we had to 17 million, right?
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
I mean, the point is we can use all of it for county operations.
Right.
Cash for capital is a subset of county operations. It doesn't have to be the whole thing.
Right.
I have a question.
Sure.
Lisa, you're, the slideshow. I guess would you revise this after the list after the facilities meeting last week? Because 16.8, you had a certain set of 9 projects in mind at that time. After the discussion last week, do you have a different list?
Not yet. I keep revising the list based on, certain things in terms of, projected downtown facilities, construction, things like that. So I would need to revise it again. I haven't done it yet.
Okay. So.
All right. So, Rich, you had your hand up. Why don't you make a motion based on a percentage?
So you want 75%? Was the 16.8?
Close enough.
That's close. 80? That would be fine.
Yeah. And in my mind, there do seem to be significant open questions regarding any infrastructure bill that might come through. But in that event, we would amend our capital plan, I would assume.
Yes. Yes. And we can still get to that amount. I'm fairly certain withdrawing the highway projects.
Okay. So I'd move 75%.
Okay. Can I get a second? Shauna seconds. Thank you.
15 million?
Yeah. Yes, they say close enough for government work. All right. All in favor of 75% for infrastructure, cash for capital. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And the noes, please. 1. Okay. All right. You have clarity on that, and now we can move on to discussing how... okay, two things. I'm not sure, Martha, the subject that you brought up, I'm not sure that we necessarily need to have a resolution on using some of the other 25% for hiring or retaining an outside firm.
Whatever, I would like to give the staff confidence that we are supporting wherever it comes from, money for staff to implement this whole program and to allow Lisa to go ahead and move on that as fast as she would like to and can, et cetera. So.
Okay. Lisa, you had sent me a resolution in that regard. So what I will assure you all of is that by tomorrow night's legislature meeting, Lisa and I will get that resolution worked up and offer it as a member filed, if that's okay with everybody. All right. Rich?
And I would like to express an intention to bring to BCP a proposal to create a policy framework for drawing down money from fund balance, for, as we've discussed, to try to allocate, to prioritize projects, recognizing the various vision ideas that have been expressed here.
Okay. I think that's... We were scheduled for this meeting through 8:30. This might be a good place to take a break. And when we come back, we can start discussing...
Yeah, I was saying I don't think we need to discuss that tonight. I think we take that up at the next BCP meeting.
Well, I'm not sure that everyone's comfortable with not discussing it tonight. Can I get a read on y'all? I know it's Rich's birthday, and he wants to go home for cake.
Actually, he wants to go through this for his birthday.
Yeah, this is the definition of fun. But, I wasn't trying to cut off discussion. I just think that trying to have a discussion and trying to allocate, we're going to spend $500,000 on this or that tonight.
I don't think we're going to get to that point. I think I was thinking more along the lines of what amount of fund balance do we want to commit to this process and what possible form might this take? I mean, it's not going to hurt to get some input from our colleagues before BCP takes this up. And it's possible one thing that we might want to consider, too, is having an ad hoc committee that would work on this particular issue with representatives from all of the committees that represent constituencies that have a need for this money. So let's take 10 minutes, folks, and then we'll come back. And maybe we don't have to stay till 8:30. Okay, let's... All right, let's get back to it, folks. All right, so now, is that a hand, Mr. McKenna? All right. What do you have to say?
I'd like to make a motion that we set aside $10 million on the fund balance to be distributed to various programs over the next couple of years.
Second.
Annie seconds that. Can we make this just a wee trifle more specific when we say over the next several years? Like how many?
I said two.
Two?
I would say I think we need more. Four?
Yeah. Could I?
I
have
4 years.
Well, we're going to get 20 million, right?
Four. Dave's just said four.
Okay.
I second
the. It's a front
okay.
page.
Okay. All right. So
I want to amend.
And what's your amendment, Henry?
$15 million over 3 years.
Okay. Amanda seconds that.
No.
No. people, we are out of practice.
We're not recording right now, are we?
Yes, we are. Okay. So do we have a second for Henry's amendment?
Martha? There's a motion on the floor to amend for $15 million over 3 years.
Second it.
Okay, Shauna seconds it. All right. So now we can, now I will call on Amanda.
Well, I guess I think Leslie had a really good idea that we follow the same timeline as the ARPA funds. So I don't know if you want to say 3 years or 2 years or, like, that feels a little bit more nebulous than saying they prescribed out a plan, and I think we could follow that.
Okay, so is that an amendment on an amendment? And Kathy, can we even do that?
Darn it.
Yes. We've just broken Robert's rules.
You can amend an amendment, but you can't amend an amendment.
What if it's accepted as friendly? Like if Henry says, sure.
Sure, it's friendly.
That's the last amendment.
Okay. Then you're done. Can somebody remind me exactly what the amendment is?
Leslie can.
Well, we can just say the duration. Okay.
And we work with first of all, we need a number,
right? 4%. Right. And then that will be in a time-bound commitment, so that says that we will know and prescribe how the money will be spent by the end of 2024, and that we will actually spend it by 2026.
Okay, that's very specific. Thank you, Leslie. Is that what's on the floor? Is that what you're sure was?
Yes.
Okay.
$15 million.
Nice question. $15 million.
That time frame.
Oh, why is it $15 million, though? Why wouldn't it be $20 million? No, I'm just asking. I mean, it's what's the ARPA funds is how much? It's $20 million, right?
19.2, but.
Why wouldn't we go with that number?
Well,
because we didn't.
Well, we can go.
No, we can't, because that would be an amendment to an amendment to an amendment. Okay, so Martha,
we could vote down if there's sentiment for that. We could vote this down and then make a new.
I understand why you wouldn't do that.
Because it would be fiscally irresponsible.
Well, it's 19.9 is the total.
The whole. It's 17.5 that we. Why would that be fiscally irresponsible?
Because this is fund balance, Mike.
Right, but we just washed $20 million. We're putting $20 million into the fund balance. So how is that fiscally irresponsible if we're just taking it back out to spend?
We're not putting it into fund balance. We're using it for county operations, and a lot of it's going into cash for capital, and that is not fund balance.
We just agreed on 75% for cash for capital.
Okay. Okay, I've got Rich, I've got Martha. Anybody else? Dan.
I think this is a great discussion to have, but this part of it, I think, does depend on what Rick was presenting to us, that we need to have his presentation tomorrow night to truly understand how much leeway we have in fund balance. And we need to think about, do we want 18 or 23% as our target to remain? And frankly, in the back of my mind, I think part of the reason Tompkins County did so well with the pandemic relatively to other places in our country was because we were fiscally strong. And because we have the capability to spend money doesn't mean we have to spend it. And it's not taking it away from the community if we remain strong. So I think we have to be careful trying to throw a number out right now to say it's 10, 15, 17, or 20. I think we need to really do some considered judgment on what is the right number to try to accomplish the community goals that we're going to try to reach. I don't feel a need to do that immediately. I think what we should be committing to is we're going to do it. We are going to set up a process and a structure to spend down some of our fund balance on specific community projects to be determined. But that's probably enough for this evening.
So. Okay. Who's next? Martha, and then Dan, and then Mike Sigler.
I think there's a case to make for 19.9 million. And I would support that. I will say, because I think the investments if we make an investment of 15 million cash for capital, it has that benefit. It has the benefit, you know, ongoing benefits to reduce our expenses in the future, take care of a lot of needs, but reduce expenses. The whole idea of this is, and we really don't know what kind of proposals we're going to get. Some of us were in a meeting this morning with Finger Lakes Reuse that have fantastic opportunities and ways to be productive and could probably easily use a million. For daycare, the Daycare Council has a proposal for probably 4 million. Housing, the I think a neighborhood housing is coming to us on Thursday at HED with what's in the pipeline and what do they see for the future. So there are, I don't think anybody proposes throwing away the money, but I think to say that maybe a range, maybe it's 15 to 20, but certainly the maximum would be 19.9. But I think the idea of what can return investment to our community is something that we should really be brave enough to entertain, because there are things that our community will do that county government can't and shouldn't do that then will return investment in quality of life to our residents, return investment in sales tax, in tourism money, in all the other things that have gotten us to the strong fund balance position that we have. So we also, I mean, we have many times used the glide path idea of if our goal is 18% fund balance or 23%, we don't do it in 1 year. We can do it, you know, right now it's 10, so next year we go to 12 and then 15, then 18. There are a lot of ways to skin this cat. Sorry, Buttercup. But a lot of ways to accomplish our goals. I would support, you know, 19.9 million.
But that's also not on the floor.
But I'm real. Yeah, I understand. So I'm realistic. That was Mike's question. So if there's sentiment for that amount, we can vote down the 15, and I would move 19.9.
Okay. So I have Dan and Mike.
Thank you. I'm not comfortable with this direction for a lot of reasons, about the direction of committing to a specific number for a specific number of years, for a number of reasons. One is the future legislature issue again. I got okay with it for capital, the capital project, for a number of reasons, but mostly because we have a capital plan anyway, and it involves a lot of $1 million, and it goes many, many years, and you can switch out things. This is different. This is actually saying next year, Greg, we already committed you to $3 million for broadband, whatever. I just don't think that we could. Well, we definitely can't do that. I don't think we should even try to do that. Also, you know, we can anticipate some things, and we get some things right, we get some things wrong. But like in any prediction, the more time that goes by, the less accurate you are. So every year we make some, our budget itself is a projection of a year and a month or something like that, right? We pass in November and it goes all the way through the following December. And we, as we've seen, things can go horribly awry from what we predicted. And that's okay. This is this, you know, it's just a set time frame. But if we're talking about committing for 3, 4, 5, what we said, 2026, that's 5 years away, I just think that that puts us in a position that we can't possibly know that we should be doing, what we can't possibly predict what we should be doing then now. And then also, one of the things that I've liked that I've heard in all these ideas, I agree with a number of people, I like all the ideas, but one of them I think is really important is what Shauna was talking about, the compensation study, and that the fact that we might need $3 million a year more to pay our own employees. I think our employees are paid on the low end, and inflation's, you know, going off right now. So where does that fit into that? How do we, you know, we've just, you know, people are talking about committing all of this money to outside expenses, and I think we missed something there, is that we're missing something that can be done internally that I think we need to do internally. And then another thing that we can use that money for, and I heard some support for tonight, is keeping the tax rate to zero for a year or two, whatever. We need money to do that. We can't give that money away and keep the tax rate low. So for all those reasons, I probably will vote no against something that's so specific like this. What I would commit to is saying, yes, it is our absolute intention and it's the best idea that we use this money for community needs over the coming years in generous amounts. I would commit to something like that. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Dan. I have Mike, Amanda, and Leslie.
I actually think it's important to kind of set something. So whether it be what Dan just said or not, I think you have to make it clear to people that that's what the intention here is. I guess I don't know why, if the government's giving us $10 million and then $10 million, why we don't just agree to kind of push $10 million out the door over the next 2 years. I mean, if they're splitting it up in two, why wouldn't we split it up? I just need a reason why. Why this number? Why 19.7? I didn't even hear that number. That came out of nowhere. 17.5 I get, because Amy said it was 17.5. 15, I don't know why 15. That doesn't, again, that number is, we kind of pull it out of a hat. So that kind of goes to Rich's point that without Rick kind of weighing in, the number's just whatever. So to me, it would be like, okay, well, if they're splitting into $10 million and $10 million, $10 million over the next 2 years, and then we deal with the next $10 million when we get it in hand. But so anyway,
okay. Amanda, Leslie, Henry.
okay, I think that we do kind of have to pick a number, and if we were using the ARP money. If we were going to split it up into the different categories, we have to follow that timeline, and we had a prescribed amount. So I think if the amendments and all, you know, we're saying we're going to follow that timeline, I think we still have to have a prescribed amount. We're not going to go over the amount that the federal government is giving us, but it could be less than that. We've already decided, okay, we're going to put this much into capital, so now how much do we want to put into county operations and how much do we want to give to the community? Those are kind of my three categories. So in my mind, it would make sense to kind of pick that number, whatever it is, and then pick a percentage. How much are we going to put into county operations and how much are we going to put into programs or, you know, for people to come forward, organizations to come forward and propose things to us. And I think a subcommittee or a working group on this is a great idea because the ARP money, I can't remember, you have to decide what you're going to do with it by, when is it?
You have to obligate it by the end of 2024 and you have to actually spend it all by the end of 2026.
So to your point, Dan, like, yeah, we don't know, but we have until, I think we should say we have until the end of 2024 to obligate the first $10 million or whatever we're going to decide that number is. So I don't know if I'm making sense, but I think we should follow the guidelines that we've been given, even though we've, as Mike likes to say, we've now washed this money. We still have, you know, I think we should honor what the intention was. And I'm sort of losing my train of thought, so I'll stop there. But, well, I'll just say, I think 15, for me, 15 million makes sense. There would be like some 4 or 5 million to capital, even though we're giving more than that. And then let's use, you know, 7.5 million for county operations, 7.5 million for community organizations. I don't know.
Okay. Leslie.
Thank you. So I would just suggest, and I would really urge legislators to just remember, there are some acute current needs that are backlogged in this community from the last year and a half, and folks are really hurting. I'm not sure if people can or should have to wait for us to make a decision, and I'm worried if we say we have the best of intentions
and we commit to doing something in some future years, that could turn into nothing, even with the best intentions, because voting will change, folks will change, new priorities will assuredly show up. And I think that the American Rescue Funds were sent out to address real issues with public health, with county governments, all local governments, actually, with individual and business needs in communities, and to look at how we deal with general loss revenue. I think that the reason the $15 million, Mike, is around, in my mind, if you were going to be equitable across those, you'd give $5 million to each group, right, each of those issues. So $5 would go to county government, whether it be for cash for capital or operations. And then there are other needs in the community that we want to make sure get addressed. That's the $15 million. That's the difference of the 19.8, whatever, around $20 million, right? There's rounding and then there's accuracy.
Gotcha.
I just think that acute needs are real and we need to address them, and not just in county government. We have acute county government needs, but the community also has acute needs. And we have an opportunity here of money that wasn't ours coming in, and we should think about that. We also have persistent needs. Long-term issues. So if we're worried about what will we need to be doing in 5 years, in 10 years, and we're not quite sure, you know what? We've had needs in daycare, in public health for years. They're going to be consistent needs in the future. We can start thinking about allocating money to issues like that. Housing is a huge need across this community. We've talked about it even earlier today around what we're going to think about as far as recruitment for new important coming to the county, and that housing is a critical decision point. Persistent needs, it's not going to change. We can begin allocating funding to these now.
Okay.
Henry.
Yes. Lisa or Rick, maybe you can address, by putting the 75% ARPA funding in the cash for capital, how much money are we going to, in theory, make off of that for the next 10 years?
I can't do it off the top of my head, but I can look it up. I kind of addressed that in the first presentation I provided.
But it's in the millions of, it's in like 26 million, was it?
No. It was like, if we did 16.8, it was going to be $1.6 million a year in saved debt service over the life of the project. So my guess is per $1 million, we save $100,000 a year in debt service. So
okay.
You do the math.
Right.
So that's about $1.5 million over, say, 10 or 15 years.
Okay. Well, Dan, that's one of the issues that, you know, that you dealt with, that you talk about not knowing about taxes, that we have this funding, which is why you put it in cash for capital, because you have a steady in-stream of funding. And so taking stuff out of the fund balance is offset by that other money coming in. Not directly, but again, there's some offset.
Okay, Shauna and then Martha.
Yeah, so I would like to hear from Rick tomorrow about a little bit more about our fund balance. I think that's going to be important in order for me to make this decision moving forward on the next 3 years. I will say that one of my concerns also, if we were to do 555 or 333, is that what ends up happening is if we were to provide grant funds for any nonprofit, for any for-profit, whenever you provide one-time funding for 3 years in a row, they become very used to receiving that funding. And I am afraid that they will structure their organization on this funding. One-time funding should be used for capital expenses, should be used... It should not be used for programs that they do not foresee receiving funding in the future. And I know that has happened in the past, is that we give someone one-time funding for 3 years, and then it turns into them receiving county funding for the rest of their existence. And I do not want to create a program that does that. So I just want to put that out there. And I would like to hear from Rick tomorrow. And I'm not against setting up a committee to figure out the process of distributing funds. I think that's actually a really good idea.
Okay. Martha.
So I don't envision this as anybody getting 3 years of funding. For example, what Sue Dale Hall sent us, like, she could see roughly $1 million in the first year, and then those other projects would be ready to spend $3 million in the second year. So it's not, I know what you're saying about when we've had like a pilot project for something that ends up turning into ongoing. I don't see it that way. It's that based on when something is ready for the money, that's when, you know, they might be in the second year or the third year, not the first. So I'm a little confused about this question of, I mean, I like what you said, Amanda, but I'm a little confused about this question of the, of, let's say, if it's 15 of some of it going to county operations, because I thought we just said 75% should go to county, of ARPA should go to county capital, but
100% goes.
But 100% going to county operations. So,
okay. If I may interpret, I think what I'm gathering from things that Amanda and Henry and Leslie have said, if we had taken that original 19.9 and divided it equally into the four buckets that are in the statute, that then $15 million would have been available for these various community projects. So I think that was the thrust of those remarks.
Okay, so the $15 million, if what we're talking about is $15 million out of fund balance, that would go to community projects.
Right.
Because we're already taking, because out of ARPA, we're taking $20 million for county costs.
Right. But if we had divided ARPA equally, then there would have been $15 million going to the community. So that's how we got to the $15
million. Okay. I don't necessarily, like, I'm not really wedded to that, I think.
No, you've made that clear.
Okay.
Anybody else? So I guess, I mean, our options are to have the basic structure of the motion, but reserve voting on a number until after we hear from Rick tomorrow. Or we can vote on a number having not heard from Rick. Anybody have any input on how they'd like to proceed?
What's on the floor?
I thought we heard from Rick.
No.
What, there's something on the floor, right?
There's something on the floor, and that is the $15 million, and it's to be committed to a distribution within the parameters of the date set by the ARPA.
But we have an amendment on that.
No, the original motion was for $10 million.
The amendment is for 15. Another amendment passed.
The other amendment was the specific dates in the ARPA.
Right, yep. but isn't that what's on the floor? Right,
that's
now
what's on the floor.
Right.
As friendly.
Okay,
Henry took that one.
I guess we can try voting on that now. Or would the moving parties be willing to hold off until we get Rick's report tomorrow night? It was
Dave moved it originally.
It was Dave's original motion and Henry's amendment. Right.
Wait for tomorrow.
So if the two movers withdraw their motions, they would be taken off the table.
Okay. So that leaves Henry's amendment unseconded?
It's Henry and Dave who
Henry,
have to remove.
Henry and Dave, yes.
Right. It just means that we'll have a better sense of how much money we're going to be left with. And I would remind people, too, that we are looking at the possibility of $2 or $3 million more in sales tax this year than we budgeted for. So that would add to the general fund. And we're also looking at the fact that New York State has admitted that it owes us an additional $3.5 million in EF-MAP reconciliation. Not that that means we're necessarily going to get it in our lifetimes, but it's a possibility. So things may be looking better than we even think now.
I'm just wondering, so Henry formally withdrew his?
I withdrew it.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Henry. Seriously, this does not mean that we're not going to be moving on this path. It's just going to be a question of how much. Everybody looks like they'd be really happy to leave. And I know Rich's birthday souvlaki is calling him, so I am going to declare this meeting.
Are we
going
to sing happy birthday to Rich?
Well, we can do that. After we stop the recording, so this meeting is adjourned. I don't think we need to impose our voices on the public.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rich. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.